The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everyone. Hello and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Show here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock from DailyRoto.com, where we run through all of the main Sunday NFL games on the DFS main slate. So I'm Davis Maddock, joined this week by Andrew Barron, also from DailyRoto.com. And, you know, as always, we are just going to go ahead and run through all these games. I think we have a lot of very interesting games this week. But again, you know, basically last week, just again, all the GPPs just determined by if you were able to get Drew Lock in there, if you were able to get Jerry Jeudy match with him, and you definitely had to play DK Metcalf instead of Tyler Lockett. It's really just becoming get the Seattle wide receiver right, and you are going to be making money in GPPs, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely. That turned out to be the best leverage spot because the cheap Denver stack did go off, and then you needed Dalvin Cook with that. I think if you were playing Dalvin Cook, you were pushed more towards the cheap Denver stack, and if you played the cheap Denver stack, you had more money for Dalvin Cook and also DK Metcalf, who was more expensive than Tyler Lockett, and that ended up being the thing that determined the winners this past weekend.
Yep. So here on the Daily Roto Hour, we just run through all of these games covering the top plays in each one of them, and we are starting at a game that maybe has the top play of the week. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars with Jake Luton traveling to the Green Bay Packers. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a team total of 18.5. The Green Bay Packers have a team total of 31.5. How much of a good play is Davante Adams at 9,000 in tournaments? I mean, is he actually so expensive that he becomes a good play, Andrew?
Well, I thought you were going to say that Jake Luton was the top play and we're going to have our first little spat here. But yeah, I mean, Davante Adams is certainly going to have the top projection on the slate overall, most likely. He is so expensive that it makes it a little bit difficult. We'll get into it with another game, but there is some significant value that has opened up that makes it a little easier to play him. But I do think it'll depress his ownership a little bit. And I also think that people are worried, somewhat rightfully so, that Green Bay just blows the doors off the Jags at home. They're 13-point favorites, and those kind of games can get out of hand. And when that is the script, people shy away a little bit from expensive plays because they don't think that it's just going to keep going back and forth. And there's a little bit of worry with that. But, I mean, Dalvin Cook has, like, running back-level floor these days. So I think he is a very good play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anyone could say that Davante Adams shouldn't be one of the best plays of the slate. And I actually think that some of those blowout concerns do make it maybe a little bit more interesting for tournaments. On the other side of the ball, it looks like Jaire Alexander is not going to play for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, if you had some of those wide receiver cornerback matchups concerns for DJ Chark, I don't particularly those wide receiver cornerback matchup concerns, but Are you very interested in Shark? You know, he had, again, a huge role last week, the first week with Jake Luton under center. And Laviska Shenault maybe is not going to play with a hamstring injury in this game, which should open up, you know, some of those more short and intermediate targets for DJ Shark as well.
Yeah, big fan of Shark this week. I think that's what you what I would like to do if I'm playing players from this game. I mean, I think Aaron Jones makes more sense as a one-off, but if you're playing Davante Adams, you're hoping the Jaguars stick around a little bit, and Chark is certainly their best option to do that. James Robinson, not so bad either. You know, like, his workload is just insane, and it wouldn't be, it's, you know, it happens all the time that a team will hang around in these kind of things. So if you think the Jaguars can give him a fight, that will increase the ceiling on the expensive Packers. So I think that that type of correlation is the way you should go when playing this game in tournaments.
Yeah. All right, our next game here, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Seems like Alshon Jeffrey might be back to play in this game for the Eagles somehow. You know, we haven't really heard anything from the Philadelphia Eagles about Alshon literally until this bye week. Dallas Goedert is back and fully healthy. So they're going to be close to their fully healthy offense. So they're going to be missing Zach Ertz, obviously, and they're going to be missing DeSean Jackson in this game. And, but, I mean, you know, Travis Fulgham, someone they did not expect to have. I mean, I think you'd probably rather have Travis Fulgham than DeSean Jackson at this point in their careers. We have Jalen Reagor, who is healthy, you know, looked really good in the Eagles game right before the bye. I actually am kind of interested in Fulgham and Reagor and Miles Sanders as well. Probably not playing any giant skill position players in tournaments, though.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't mind the Eagles full stack just because it is, it's quite affordable. We'll see with Alshon. It's been a long time. I feel like it's been years since we've even heard about that guy. But, you know, Wentz is only 5,900 on DraftKings. That's a really nice price. You can get that going. And if you want to end up stacking Wentz with multiple pieces, that's when you need to start looking towards the Giants. I think Sterling Shepard makes for an interesting tournament play. He's got, you know, I think like 8 and 10 targets in his last couple weeks. He keeps getting the volume. Daniel Jones, you know, we've certainly talked about him before. Man's a bit mistake prone, but that doesn't worry me too much in GPPs. What do you think about this?
The reason why I think Daniel Jones and, you know, his correlated options, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, and then the Eagles guys, first off, they're all cheap, and that's huge, right? So just being cheap is going to be a huge advantage in tournaments because, for example, you can go Daniel Jones, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard, Jalen Reagor, and then you can put Fulgham in there or you cannot put Fulgham in there. It doesn't really matter either way. And in that lineup, you could still play Alvin Kamara. You could play Darren Waller at tight end if you wanted to. You could play Davante Adams. You could use, you know, two expensive running backs. You could play Davante Adams and James Conner. So that is certainly, you know, one of the stronger reasons to be interested. I guess the other reason is this: the total is kind of artificially low for this game at 44.5. I would probably be on the overside of this game because I don't think we believe either of these defenses are very good. And because both of the quarterbacks are, you know, very turnover prone, very mistake prone, that actually leads to higher scoring games. Like, you will see a correlation between pressure rate and games going over because, you know, that opens you up to pick sixes. That opens you up to, you know, shortened field position. If Carson Wentz takes a 20-yard sack on his own 14-yard line, then all of a sudden the Eagles punt and the Giants are like at midfield. So I actually do kind of like this game from a stacking perspective for meta reasons, not for like player projection reasons. But we are going to go ahead and head into our first break here on the Daily Roto Hour. See you guys in just a few seconds. All right, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. My name is David Smatic, and I am joined by Andrew Barron from DailyRoto.com as we break down every game in the main NFL Daily Fantasy slate on FanDuel and DraftKings this weekend. And we are now going to the Washington football team at the Detroit Lions. And I got to say, this is a game I really don't have much interest in. I think for Washington, if Antonio Gibson, who did not practice on Wednesday, if he doesn't play, I would like to be interested in McKissick, but I don't really know how much more his role can expand. And, you know, they will probably play Peyton Barber a little bit. They just activated Bryce Love from the injured reserve, so maybe he plays, you know, 10, 15 snaps, something like that. And then on the Detroit side, I have no interest in Lions players when they're not in a pace-up game because what Matt Patricia wants to do in this game is he wants to run the ball 45 times, and that's it.
I think that's right, but I also think that's okay for DeAndre Swift a little bit. He is, you know, he's pretty far down in price, and he's one of those guys. He's, you know, we've talked about this. You and I think have philosophical differences about this, but DeAndre Swift is one of those guys that, yeah, he needs to get in the end zone twice, and he could certainly do that and pay off. And then, you know, if he scores 22 points because he falls in the end zone twice. And then, you know, one of the expensive running backs doesn't really get it done. All of a sudden, he has moved ahead of them in their optimal probability lineups. But overall, I'm with you. I'm not like super in love with this game. Terry McLaurin seems to get, played a little too much every week. His optimal probability versus his projected ownership in our Sims tend to be quite different every week. And so far, that's looking to be the same. He's running really hot. I mean, you know, Alex Smith, sure, he could kill us. Like, McLaurin's fast enough that he could take a short one a long way. But I am inclined to go with you and be a little under on this game.
Yeah, and in terms of like chalky guys from this game, McLaurin is the only one who is going to approximate anything like, you know, actual ownership. And I guess I could also see Danny Amendola sneaking into optimals because he runs all of those underneath possession routes. And, when you run those routes, like, you can literally convert all of your targets into receptions. So he could have something like 9 receptions, 86 yards, and because his salary is so low on DraftKings, I could actually see that, you know, panning out into being something you need. I guess this really is all related to Mike Davis, who we're going to talk about a little bit, but if Mike Davis does rather bad, you are going to need other cheap plays who outscore him, and Danny Amendola and JD McKissick, I think, are two of those players in this game who have the ability to do that. All right, moving on now to the Houston Texans at the Cleveland Browns. I actually think Duke Johnson for tournaments is a much more fascinating question than Mike Davis is, because he will get about half the ownership as Mike Davis. He's more expensive, and I think there's more volatility in his individual projection. Like, to me, Duke Johnson's chances of failure, even though he's more expensive than Mike Davis, actually seem higher than Mike Davis's chances of failure, because we could see CJ Prosize playing passing downs. We could see Deshaun Watson handling the goal line work. Like, it's really not out of the question to me that Duke Johnson plays 72% of the snaps, gets 15 carries, is targeted 3 times, and scores, you know, like 11 DraftKings points or something, and is fine, but certainly is not good enough to be in tournament winning lineups.
Absolutely. And I mean, there are paths for that to happen with Mike Davis as well. He doesn't get the easiest matchup. So Duke Johnson, it does seem like the Texans have tried to use him a little more since Bill O'Brien's been gone. We'll see. Duke Johnson's got, 5-6 years in the league now of being underutilized, according to most people. But I think the ceiling is pretty similar to Mike Davis's. So your point there is well taken. I think he makes for an interesting tournament play. This game overall, I mean, Nick Chubb is potentially back. I don't know if we have any definitive word on that yet, but the Browns are favorites, so, you know, they want to run the ball. Deshaun Watson's been amazing this year. Will Fuller keeps getting it done. The Cleveland cornerbacks are pretty fast. I'm not too worried about cornerback matchups in general, but that is Will Fuller's greatest asset for sure. And so even though the Cleveland cornerbacks aren't amazing, like, they can at least keep up with him. He's not going to beat them by 3 paces down the field. Same with Cooks, which is a little bit scary because they are mostly speed guys, but yeah, some mild interest in this game. I think there's plenty of tournament lineups you can make that give you some decent EV while keeping ownership down and giving you other spots to play more popular plays.
Yeah, I don't think this game is like all that interesting to me in terms of overall stacking, because neither team wants to play very fast. Like, I think even in a competitive game, I don't know if either of these teams plays very fast. You know, obviously we have the long touchdown potential with Fuller and with Cooks. I guess maybe Landry and Austin Hooper are rather cheap for 1 and 2 passing options on a team. So again, like Philadelphia and New York, if you wanted to make an argument that these guys are super cheap and they correlate and it lets you get in, you know, some of the best one-off plays, I would be kind of open to hearing that. Are you interested in Nick Chubb if he returns from the injured reserve this week? I mean, you know, this is probably is going to be his lowest ownership spot of the season. The Texans have this egregious defense. The Browns are big home favorites. Where are you at with Nick Chubb?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I play tournaments. I'd rather be a week early than a week late, so absolutely. Like, the projection on him won't be amazing necessarily because we're naturally going to be conservative. There is risk involved, but the Nick Chubb ceiling is amazing. Like, if he, you know, we've seen what he can do. Cleveland's got a really good offensive line. Like you said, the Texans have a pretty poor defense, and Cleveland are big home favorites. So yeah, it's the nut spot for a running back in general. It's just there are questions about the workload, but I'll take him at 5% own versus if he gets it done, then all of a sudden he's going to be 18% own next week. So yeah, I would like some Nick Chubb.
Yeah. All right. So our biggest decision point of the week, we move to Tampa Bay at Carolina. And, you know, it just feels like one of those spots where I don't care what the ownership projection is on Mike Davis. I am just going to I'm locking him. I just am playing it. I'm taking the 4,000. You know, I think a very viable alternative is to run your MME this week with no running back in the flex and just try and find, you know, all these. There's just a multitude of wide receivers who could outscore Mike Davis very easily. It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude to do that. You got to obviously be able to just get zero back for a week, you know. But if Mike Davis gets 11 points, you're printing. And at the very least, you're making lots of Sklansky bucks fading Mike Davis.
Absolutely. We are all about Sklansky bucks here at Daily Roto. You know, you got to have those positive takeaways. It's about the process, not the results, right? But yeah, this Mike Davis thing, I think the last time I remember something this obvious and this just like, you have to play this cheap guy moment was Devontae Booker week, like, what was that, 4 years ago? And I think that was when, might have been 5 years ago, when all the Denver running backs were out. And that was back when min price for running backs was $3,000. I think that's why DraftKings did away with that. You noticed the last several years, backup running backs are generally, you know, $4,500, $4,800 or so, even the backup ones. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why. I mean, I get it. Christian McCaffrey is full workload guy. Like, looks like he was the old Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but he should have been like 4,800 at least, though, or
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. I mean, 54, you know, something like that. I don't quite understand them moving him straight back to min price. Obviously, they didn't know McCaffrey was going to be out, but yeah, it seems kind of dumb. So we'll see. He's like, you know, first run of ownership projections, he's 61%. And that is before we have a week of talking about him. I think that's probably about where he lands, but it's just, you know, it's a little... It's free square-ish, but, you know, like you said, if he gets 11, 13, even 15 points, there are ways to beat him if it's a high-scoring slate. And there are, you know, there are high-scoring slates often. There are not many 15-point scores in GPP-winning lineups anymore. People are scoring 200-plus in everything. So, I don't know.
But a lot of that is related to how many points quarterbacks are scoring and, sure. You know, by extension. Like, if Mike Davis allows you to get Russell Wilson plus Tyler Lockett plus DK Metcalf and those guys combined for 120 points, like he could get like 8 points and it wouldn't really matter.
Right, because the Troutman game so where much. People were winning GPPs with Troutman bageling because Dallas scored, I don't know, 78 points or whatever. it's a tough one. I will certainly be under if he's 60% owned. I will probably play 30% in that situation. And if he kills me, he kills me.
Yeah. All right. So I guess my thoughts on the Tampa Bay side of the game are sort of that, I hate all of these guys. And I think the market is probably going to say, you know, I hate all of these guys. I don't want to play Ronald Jones. I don't want to play Leonard Fournette. I don't want to play Antonio Brown. I don't want to play Chris Godwin. I don't want to play Mike Evans. I don't want to play Tom Brady. I don't want to play Rob Gronkowski. And it really would not surprise me if this is one of the like lowest ownership spots of the year for these guys with a 28-point team total against a bad defense and with a very obvious correlation, right? Where you're getting an ownership discount or you're getting a correlation benefit with Mike Davis. But we're going to continue that conversation in just a minute as we go to break here. All right, everyone, welcome back from break here on the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Andrew Barron here. We left off at break talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Carolina Panthers game. We already covered the Mike Davis side of this game. And just because Mike Davis is going to be so owned, there is just a tremendous amount of leverage and I guess pivoting off of Mike Davis on the Panthers side to be had in this game, essentially.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that so many people are just going to lock Mike Davis and not even worry about like boosting anything or making any kind of rule about him that the Tampa Bay side will go way under owned anyway. I think most Tampa Bay stats will have Mike Davis, but that's not the worst thing. I think if I'm playing Mike Davis, I'm going to have a lot of those Tampa stacks in there and hope maybe Carolina can get out to an early lead or whatever. Like Davis gets a lot of, receives a lot of passes too. So the Tampa Bay side is just so egregiously under owned. And I get it. It's all these stud players. None of them are like dirt cheap. There's too many mouths to feed, but like, it's not like we're going to get, you know, 20% of the total work to each one of these guys. Like, somebody's going to get 11 targets, probably. I don't know who it is, but that's why they're all, you know, 1 to 3% owned.
It's Chris Godwin.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. And then are you interested in playing Curtis Samuel as like the leverage, you know, like maybe he would get the high value touches in the red zone over Mike Davis if it ended up happening? Is that something that you are interested in?
Not really. I don't know. I just can't do it with Curtis Samuel. I used to every once in a while when he was min priced and Cam would launch it to him 60 yards down the field twice a game. He's a different player now, but I'm more into DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. I just think the ceiling is a little higher there, so that's more where I would go for leverage. And but you know, we shall see. I do think there's a lot of leverage to be gained off of playing other Panthers and stacking up the Tampa Bay side, because Davis is going to be owned in a lot of games that don't even stack this. So you're hoping, like, right, if Davis is going to score 20 points, then this game is probably going to do pretty well. So play some other pieces from it. You know, that's where my mind goes.
Yeah. All right. So our next game here, we have the Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. Denver, unfortunately, without Albert Okwuegbunam, my man crush. It's a little bit of a bummer. Actually, Denver's getting pretty thin now because Jake Butt is on the injured reserve as well. Noah Fant has this ankle injury that causes him to like limp off and then come back, you know, in every single game. It's very frustrating as someone who just really wants Noah Fant to prosper. But again, I think that even more so than New York, Philadelphia, and Houston, Cleveland, this game has very, very sneaky game stack potential, because first off, Denver is so terrible in first halves that they always end up playing really fast in the second half because they have to throw so much in the second half. But then also, just the presence of Henry Ruggs and his ability to just end a possession, right, with an 80-yard touchdown at any given time. Like, I just think that, like, him and Aguilar as those boundary wide receivers just kind of makes Las Vegas play faster, even when they just want to rush Josh Jacobs. Like, all they want to do is give Josh Jacobs 35 carries. But so I'm a little interested in this game. I guess the reason I'm not, like, rushing to stack it is it's not as good as it was last week for Locke, and I don't really want to play Locke or Carr at my quarterback slots, though our optimals this week do really like Derek Carr in this spot.
Yeah, our optimals tend to like Carr a lot. His efficiency has been kind of amazing on the two deep passes a game he actually throws. I want to say he has a perfect QBR on deep throws this year. And, you know, Ruggs is a big part of that. But Ruggs will get like two or three targets. You know, there's nothing certain there. I do think that Ruggs is the beneficiary if you're playing Carr in tournaments, right? It's hard for Carr to score 30 points without throwing one of those really deep balls. So if he's going to do that, he's probably connecting with Henry Ruggs. So I like him a lot if I am stacking Carr. I don't really like him a lot in a vacuum. And yeah, I don't know, Denver, like, they went up in price, you know, about $500 a piece. They were really popular last week. They were too popular. They were bad until the fourth quarter. And then Drew Locke ran one in. Like, would he have run one in if Noah Fant was playing on both legs? I don't know. Maybe he would have tried to throw it to him. So that stack got there last week. I think it's not like they're looking super popular, but they are getting some ownership. And I just don't think the probability of them really going off is all that high, especially now that they're a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm not really all that interested in anyone in this game, I don't think. I will maybe play a little bit of Fant and Waller as one-offs because they are tight ends, you know, can lead their team in targets and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, overall, not really all that excited. Now, our next game here, this is the game, right? This is the big one. We have the Buffalo Bills at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals have a team total of 29. The Buffalo Bills have a team total of 27. And, you know, the Bills last week literally ran the ball twice in the first half. And, like, the thing we know about daily fantasy, especially on DraftKings where it's full point PPR, is, like, just every drop back that you're using in your stack is worth so much. So, like, just because it's a passing play instead of a run play, like, more points are possible. Like, one reception for 4 yards six different times, you know, it just adds up huge amounts of equity to these stacks. It adds in all these bonus points. And both of these teams, really, I kind of expect to play like that this week, because it looks like Kenyon Drake might come back and play for the Arizona Cardinals this week. I selfishly am hoping that he does not, because I want to see Chase Edmonds get another chance at a game with this massive workload. But both of these quarterbacks look like the two best quarterback plays of the week. DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs look like two of the best wide receiver plays of the week. I think Christian Kirk and John Brown look like great secondary plays. Like, I think those six guys might be amongst my 10 highest owned players overall this weekend.
Yeah, I think they probably will be for me as well. Allen and Murray are obviously projecting as the highest owned quarterbacks. That has gone up significantly since the Mike Davis news because now you can afford them. The same has happened to DeAndre Hopkins, which you want to, like, Sklansky hero last week, dog. Like, he scored, he had, what, four PIs on him? Like, I mean, he had 175 Sklansky yards, basically, and ended up with 4.3 DraftKings points. That hurt. I was quite a bit over DeAndre Hopkins. We had him as a top five optimal probability play, and he had, you know, there were three, I can't remember exactly who it was, but Lockett was one of them, but there were three just like, Diggs was another one of them, just massive, massive chalk wide receivers that were all like right around the same optimal probability as Nuke, who was 5% owned. You know, that game was, I loved that Arizona-Miami game last week, and it kind of went great. Like, they played well, both sides of the ball. Things were going all right, but DeAndre Hopkins just could not get it done. It's really hard to have Kyler Murray as the highest scoring quarterback of the week without, you know, getting the most obvious wide receiver for him going, especially since the rest of them don't get a ton of targets. I'm with you that Kirk is a fun tournament play, and, you know, he'll get his couple, and he obviously gets very deep ones. He is what we thought Andy Isabella maybe would be this year. But, yeah, it was really tough with DeAndre Hopkins, and I am definitely back in on him this week. He's going to be a bit more owned, but that's okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I guess for me, for these crazy game stacks, I like actually don't really sweat individual ownership, all that much, right? Like, what is really, even in, so like the $100 spy, the $50 red zone, which are like my two favorite tournaments, those are the ones that I spend the most time thinking about on any given week. Like, what is the cumulative ownership of Josh Allen plus Steph Diggs plus DeAndre Hopkins? Or not cumulative ownership. What is the ownership of those three guys all together in the same lineup going to be? I mean, maybe
5% of lineups, 2%, probably.
Yeah, I mean, tops. And that even seems rather high. And if that's fine, then I'm fine battling with those other 5% and having 4v4s versus them, like 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point. I think I donked myself out of some money earlier in the year by playing more of the Seahawks and being scared of Dallas. When Dallas, actually, when they were cooking, like, had more interesting ways to stack, right? Because they had the three options. So there were,
and
there
they
were
had,
that many.
They had Saints, too.
Right, four. Yeah, sure, four. So there's more. There's way more ways to pick two options from four than there are to pick two options from two. Like, Russ is throwing to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and lately it's only been one of them. But overall, that stack is the way to do it, right? It's a very concentrated tier. I actually like it sometimes, especially as an MME player, when these teams are not so concentrated in their target trees, because you can make unique stacks with high-owned players. It's hard to do that when the Seahawks are chalk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very hard to do that with the Seahawks or chalk, though it's going to be a little bit easier this week because Tyler Lockett is less expensive. And I guess we should talk about the running backs in this game as well. My thought would be is Chase Edmonds is the stone best play of the week, any salary, any ownership projection, whatever. If Kenyon Drake doesn't play, I would actually, I haven't even really been MMEing much the last couple weeks, but if Chase Edmonds or if Kenyon Drake does not play, I will MME, I think, just to lock Chase Edmonds in 150.
I like it. I ran First Sims yesterday before we had the Drake news, and we are still technically projecting Drake out. I think we're going to deal with that later today. But Chase Edmonds was the number two optimal probability play. And he, you know, the ownership's impossible to tell right now because obviously it is highly dependent on Drake. And it was really low because some of the industry chatter had Drake coming back. But yeah, I think Edmonds is an excellent, excellent play. And I think he's really good leverage off of some of the, you know, I think that, you know, the Kyler and Josh Allen and Diggs and Nuke will all be exceedingly popular plays. And he makes for great leverage off of them. He can maybe slow the game down a little bit. So yeah, I'm with you. I love Chase Edmonds, especially if Drake is out. And I mean, even if Drake's back and hobbled, like maybe Edmonds still gets 70% of the work. We'll see. It's not as likely, but man, that's when he's going to be 2% owned. And you want to talk about leverage then. Holy crap.
Well, I guess the one thing with that is I could actually see, you know, Drake coming back, not playing well, and Edmonds still being in there. But Edmonds, like, because in that scenario, Edmonds probably gets like 13 points or whatever. And that's like actually a disaster at his salary, because he's not, it's not, this isn't like a Mike Davis, Duke Johnson thing. It's like, you know, he is 6,300. I actually am not sure how much he costs on FanDuel. I know that it's a little bit more than that. We are going to go ahead.
He's got to beat Connor and Jacobs and Chubb then. Sorry.
Yeah. We are going to go ahead and head into our another break here. When we return, we have a couple of the other big games left. Obviously, Seattle and Los Angeles, some of the other big daily fantasy interest contests as well. So see you guys in just a few minutes here on the other side of break on the Daily Roto Hour. Everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Roto Hour here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Andrew Barron as we go through every game in the main NFL DFS slate on Sunday for FanDuel and DraftKings. We've covered the Buffalo, Arizona, the primetime game of the week, but we still have four games left to run through here. And we can go ahead and start our fourth segment here with the Los Angeles Chargers at the Miami Dolphins. This game, sort of sneakily fun, right? Two fun young quarterbacks. You know, the Dolphins, I think, are probably just like not going to be running the ball at all this week. I think they're going to tilt really heavy towards the pass, you know, because Tua basically showed that he can do it, right? They gave him a lot. He gave them a lot of reason to believe. And then, you know, just what I'm hoping is that the Chargers choose to do the same thing. They have not done that. They've been very pass heavy in first halves this year, but then super run heavy in second half. So kind of my hope here is that we get very pass heavy for both teams in the second half of this game.
Yeah, me too, man. I am so bummed last week that Tua was not able to beat Drew Lock. He outplayed him significantly. And Drew Lock, the Denver stack, was 5-6x the ownership of the Miami stack. And I had them with pretty similar ceilings. So I played a lot of that Miami stack. Preston Williams at 4,100 was on his way to a smash. He had 4 for 60 and a touchdown in a quarter and a half. And, you know, broke his foot, or like, you know, sprained his foot really badly, did not come back. But Tua looked really good, and he ran the ball. And I just think at whatever, you know, he's still 5,600 on DraftKings. And, you know, it's a little different on FanDuel because the quarterback pricing is a little more scrunch. But he's so cheap on DraftKings and allows you to pay for that other stuff. And I truly think that he has, because he has the same toolkit as all of these guys that we're talking about that are 7,500, 8,000 this week, like, the probability is much lower, but he has that ceiling because he has a big arm. He's going to throw the ball a lot, and he can run the ball. So one of these weeks, Tua is going to have the 35-point game and carry a couple of his guys with him, and I am going to continue to chase that while they're all, you know, below 5% owned, which they look to be again this week other than maybe Devontae Parker. But, yeah, I love Miami stacks. I think that one of these weeks it's going to work. So I will try to get there before the field does.
Yeah, so I like the theory in general. I would just tell you, though, I mean, the better quarterback to get at 3% owned in this game is Justin Herbert, because we already know. Like, we already know that this guy can put up 36 DraftKings points or whatever, and we already know he'll run a little bit, and we know exactly who his stack options are, right? Like, you go Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, if you're feeling frisky, Devontae Parker, and then you can put in Jakeem Grant or whatever in there if you want as well. You don't have to, but I like the Tua idea, but he will not be making my pool this week, I don't think.
Interesting. No, I mean, like, listen, I like both sides of the ball. This is probably my favorite game of the week. I think there is so much variance in both of these teams' games, kind of like you were saying with Philadelphia and New York earlier. Right, where like it's a weird over under, where like maybe that's a nice median over under, but like it's going to go way over a lot of the time, because and if it doesn't, like, whatever, like, right, if Daniel Jones or Carson Wentz doesn't have it, what's going to happen? Your lineup's going to suck and you're dead. Same idea with this. Like, there's a pretty low floor with Tua and Justin Herbert, but man, yeah, if this game shoots out, I think it could actually compete with some of the bigger games. I just mostly like the Miami side because it's significantly cheaper and allows you to play, you know, some Packers and some other more expensive options. But I definitely like both sides of the ball, and both of these quarterbacks, you better believe, are going to be a significant part of my pool this week.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Okay, so let's get to the game everyone wants to talk about, right? The Seattle Seahawks playing at the Los Angeles Rams. Cooper Kupp a little bit banged up, but expected to play per Sean McVay. Same is true for Daryl Henderson. He returned to practice on Thursday. He is cleared to play on Sunday as of now. We don't have a ton of clarity for the Seattle Seahawks backfield. My guess is that we get what we've had the last 2 weeks, where Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde are not able to play, but they could. It is not out of the realm of possibilities that those guys play. We're not really that interested in the running backs in this game. My question, though, to you, are we just going to continue to get these LOL discounts on DK Metcalf, where he shows up at 8% owned every single week? Like, are we just going to get to keep printing with DK Metcalf?
If he keeps being this much more expensive, I think, yeah. I think that is what's going to happen. You know, last week it was because people are scared of Tre'Davious White. He was a good cornerback, you know, whatever. But, like, we talked about this a lot in the main slate content. DK Metcalf has like 5 inches and 40 pounds on Tre'Davious White. Like, I don't care how good you are. If you got to face a man like that, he's very difficult. I think the ownership will be a little bit closer this week because Metcalf has had the two really strong ones in a row. But yeah, I mean, I am strongly considering a rule. I'm not necessarily with you where I'm scared off of the running backs. I think that's great leverage because I think the passing attacks in this game will be very popular. And I think both of these teams would prefer to run the play, especially the Seahawks defense has been so bad that they don't have the luxury of running the ball all game, but I think they would like to do that if they can. I am probably going to have a play at least one Seahawk rule going, especially if we get a little more clarity in the running back situation. It would be nice because I don't think they're going to be owned even if we do have some sort of clarity on like who is going to be the lead back. But I think, you know, play one of DK or Lockett or, you know, whatever Seattle running back in just about every lineup, because Seattle's going to score some points. And the Rams probably are too. What do you like for that?
Yeah, I mean, I will be playing DK Metcalf on hopefully all my teams. Maybe not all of them. Maybe only 75% of my teams or whatever. But I think that Metcalf has the same ceiling projection as Davante Adams. I think that at a 90th percentile level, we should basically consider them the same because of how much Metcalf is able to generate touchdowns. Like, Metcalf is the most Gronkian touchdown producer in the NFL right now, and Diggs and Hopkins and Adams and Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas and Tyler Lockett, all of those guys are very reliant on target volume to get there, and all of them should get there, and I like all of those guys as individual plays this week. But Metcalf can take 6 targets, turn that into 146 yards and 2 touchdowns very easily.
He's so Gronk, he to me meets seems Will like Fuller. He's Gronk, yes, and Will Fuller combined. It's wild. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just incredible. I guess the one thing that does seem interesting to me, though, is, yeah, we have this massive price discount on Tyler Lockett. I wonder, though, if because he's had the two duds in a row, like, does the Seattle stack just become a little bit less popular this week? And, you know, people go with that Buffalo-Arizona game. And also, you know, the Rams side, I don't expect it to be all that popular because we just saw the 49ers stack against the Seahawks go bad. People remember playing Jimmy Garoppolo in that game. I know I'm guilty of putting Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff in sort of that same bucket of like very mediocre quarterback who is really spurred on by his offensive environment and his coach. So, you know, I gotta say, I think maybe this game somehow comes in a little bit, like, now that I'm talking through it, it maybe comes in a little bit less popular than I'm expecting.
We'll see. I think Lockett, Metcalf, and Kupp are all going to be double-digit owned. I think that's pretty clear. Robert Woods probably won't be. I think he's the sneakier wide receiver there. Kind of the same logic as the Jimmy G stack a couple weeks ago that I did not really care for. I don't really like playing Goff here either because Goff is one of those guys. He's very stationary, so he's got to throw for 303 or whatever. And if he does that, I don't see how Russ and company don't score, you know, that 120 points you were talking about earlier. Like, I just don't see many paths where the Rams are throwing all over the place and the Seahawks don't. I could see the Rams running all over the Seahawks, and I like Darrell Henderson at, like, low, like, 2-3% owned. I think that's an interesting one. But I don't love a Rams passing stack in this game just because I don't know how their passing stack beats the Seahawks passing stack.
I do. It's that they have 20 more dropbacks and they complete 15 more passes, right? If Cooper Kupp catches 14 passes and Robert Woods catches 11, both of them get the 100-yard bonus, both of them score a touchdown, and Goff is able to get to 32.
Even what if are the Seahawks doing?
Well, I mean, so let's say Russell Wilson gets 35, Goff gets 30, Metcalf gets 35, Tyler Lockett gets 24. I think that even if you gave Goff 28, Kupp 25, Woods 25, the money that you're saving in you're saving what, 2600, 2700 in total, and sure, that can get you in a different construction, and also, you know, it's just a little bit better points per dollar.
Yeah, this is if you're thinking that, like, that really requires very few 4 or 5K plays smashing. It's like you want Devontae Adams to score 38 and all of the value wide receivers to kind of be a bust. Like, I just think that's very difficult to do where that difference in points is saving you, and the 2K that you're saving there is made up for, at least in the same game. But, you know, we've certainly seen wackier things. It's in the range of outcomes. I just don't really like playing opposing passing stacks against the Seahawks, because if it's a shootout game, like, Russ is going to go absolutely nuclear. The Bills being a, you know, bit of an exception last week, of course, you know, Josh Allen can get a lot of things done, but I don't think Jared Goff is that type of quarterback.
Yeah, I think that is true as well. All right, real quickly here, let's run through San Francisco, New Orleans. Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas at their salaries and at their projected ownership, which one do you like better?
I guess Kamara. I mean, you know, Michael Thomas is going to be half the ownership probably. So, like, yeah, there's an argument. Maybe he gets it. Maybe he has his return to form game. But I don't know. It's been a really tough year for him. I'm not sure if we're going to see him. I think it's going to be gradual if he gets back to the old Michael Thomas. I don't think it's just going to be like all of a sudden, yeah, he's back to 18 target guy. So, you know, I think I like Kamara. He's double the ownership. So it's going to be a little bit tricky. I think the probabilities are probably not that much different, but I mean, it's pretty fair. I mean, I don't have a ton of interest in this game, unfortunately, because the Saints have such a high total, but Kamara would be my favorite play in this one. What about you?
Yeah, it's Kamara for me as well. I think that a lot of people are going to be drawn in by, I think a lot of people are going to be drawn in by the low Michael Thomas price tag, but to me, it's Alvin Kamara who has the more explosive ceiling, and, you know, not playing Michael Thomas means you're not playing Metcalf, Diggs, or Hopkins, so that's not that fun. All right, our final game here in our game-by-game preview, we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. A dream matchup for James Conner. Giovanni Bernard's going to get the start here. I got to say, the only guys I'm interested in this game are Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't really want to play anyone on the Bengals side. Don't really want to play James Conner at all.
Yeah, poor Conner. What a season, huh? That guy, he's been in the nut spot a bunch of times. You know, last week they got down to the Cowboys, but, you know, there have been a number of times where he got sniped by Benny Snell or got sniped by Clay's Chapul. Like, there's been a lot of really good situations for him, and he just hasn't converted. You know, I mean, I do think that turns around eventually. I do think his ownership is not going to be as crazy as it was last week. You know, I think it's about a third of that ownership, and it's a pretty similar matchup. I mean, you know, the Bengals aren't as bad as the Cowboys, but, like, the fact that they might give him a fight, I don't think that's a bad thing, right? You know, it means Pittsburgh's going to keep trying to do some offense. I like the idea of a rule where you play exactly one of Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, and James Conner. Just get one of them, because they're probably going to score a lot of points. I don't know which one it's going to be. I did that last week, and it worked out pretty well. Juju, I think I ended up with 32% Juju or something like that, and he ended up being the one that scored the most. But I think that one of them is going to get quite a few points, and, you know, it's a not very good Cincinnati defense. But their offense does have some punch, so, you know, they should potentially hang around and make Pittsburgh do something. And I think that someone's going to get it done. And, you know, Connor could, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm with that. So we are going to go ahead and head into a break here on the Daily Roto Hour. When we return, me and Andrew are going to give our favorite QB wide receiver game stacks of the week. There are a lot of options this week. I'm interested in who Andrew is going to be choosing. I have my eyes on two different teams that I will have to think through, but going to go ahead and go to break here real quick. See you guys in just a few moments on the other side. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our final segment here on the Daily Roto Hour on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Mack, joined by Andrew Barron. And here in our final segment, we take a look at our favorite game stacks of the week for NFL DFS on the main slate on Sunday. And, you know, I'm going to go chalky here. Well, maybe not. Maybe Buffalo, Arizona is the most popular answer. I am going with Seattle at LA, though. Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Jared Goff, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. I think even, you know, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, Jacob Hollister, some of these secondary names are a little interesting to me in MME as well. But this game to me could have 100 pass attempts, could just be just one of these absolutely insane games. Though I guess it is worth mentioning, pretty much every Seattle Rams game has been brutal for the last 10 years. I mean, it's just been low scoring. We had a tie in this game. There was a 6-6 game. I mean, it's been bad. So maybe there's a little bit of institutional concern there.
Yeah, play the running backs, man. I don't know. I think that's a really interesting leverage spot. For me, you know, I mean, yeah, it's chalky, but I actually at 15% owned, that's under-owned. He has a higher chance than that of being the top scorer. So it's Kyler and Nuke for me. And Nuke is not particularly high-owned because he's had trouble. But again, Sklansky Hero. So that's my favorite expensive one obvious one. And then I love Miami. I love Tua and, you know, Parker and Gesicki. And one of these weeks that's going to work. And it's not owned right now. So I am going to keep hammering that one until it pays off.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Hopkins actually looks like the Sklansky buck spot this week because mm-hmm. he burned people last week. He really hasn't had an explosion game for a month or so now. His season-long numbers look fine because he was so hot to start the year, but Christian Kirk has been having these good games, and then Kyler also last week. It's like they were playing a game, like, okay, we're going to throw a touchdown to Daryl Daniels, we're going to have Kyler run around and score a goal. It's like they were doing anything they could to keep Hopkins from getting there last week against the Dolphins, and I do think that that will be, you know, a little bit remedied this week. I also think that one of the things is we're hammering on these four stacks, you know, Buffalo, Arizona, Seattle, LA. I think the fact that all of them look so good is going to mean that whichever one you really like, you're going to be able to get some leverage on the field, because I don't imagine any of them being all that expensive. So really, it's kind of just a play whoever you want week. It's like play Mike Davis and then play whoever you want, because no one is going to be, you know, too terribly expensive. Though in cash games, it's definitely going to be a heavy, heavy overlap week. But everyone make sure to check out dailyroto.com for all the best NFL daily fantasy info and tools in the industry, and we will see you back.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.